Hello, hello, hello. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. And I want to talk to you today about facts on false teaching, or facts on false teaching today. And last week I preached on Word of Faith, Denying Reality. This is going right along with that one. This is kind of part two, but it is separate by itself. But if you want to learn more about this Word of Faith, Denying Reality, we want to talk today in Colossians chapter 2. In verse 3, he said, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge?" And he was saying this to the Gnostics. The Gnostics have been an enemy of the church from the beginning, and they're always looking for extra wisdom and extra knowledge apart from Christ. And so here he's saying, Paul is saying to the Colossians, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge?" They're in Christ. So here, and then he goes on, and he tells us in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." All of this is really good. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words in verse 4. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. So grab your Bibles and read along with me. It's so much better when you can see it and hear it, because then it makes it your own. So beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And we're going to talk about the philosophies of false doctrines that are in our face right now, what we are dealing with. And make vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him." Well, all these other doctrines are trying to put Christ down and to try finding other paths to wisdom and knowledge. So here it says, "Don't be taken captive." And what does captive there mean? It means to be taken as a prisoner in war, or be taken as a slave. Well, how would you be taken a slave, and how would you be taken like a prisoner in war? Through philosophy. Through philosophy. What is that? The love of wisdom, the study of principles of reality. In other words, as they start talking to you about the wisdom that you can find through these laws and manipulate reality, you're getting actually taken away from Christ, and you're being captivated by the wisdom of this world. And I would add, to manipulate reality by mind over matter, laws and techniques, or mind power, the false teachers call faith. They have made faith to be so complicated. Instead of simplicity of faith, trusting and believing in God, faith comes by hearing the word. You just read the word and faith comes. They have made it a technique and they've made it a law. So I want to give you some examples of Gnostic and mystical adventures that we're dealing with right on television, right in the airwaves that we see. I don't get those anymore. I cut off all those so-called Christian programming, but I used to think it was, I mean, I used to buy this, and I used to thought it was all so good. So that's why I have such a passion to deliver other people from it, because I really was sucked into this teaching. But it's Gnosticism, and it's Gnostic. So it's Gnostic and mystical adventures. And this was on a program. And this has really little to do with the Jesus of the Bible. It actually uses enough Bible to confuse you, and then it adds other things into it. And I'm going to give you an example. They love the stories beyond the scriptures. Beyond the scriptures, and they love trips to heaven. They're a dime a dozen now today, or talking to the dead. Abraham and all these people are going to heaven and talking to these dead so-called patriarchs and all this. Well, that is necromancy. So God's not going to have you do something he tells you that's forbidden in the Bible. This is to go talk to these people that are so-called in heaven. So I'm going to give you an example that was on a television show a while back now. And I'm just going to give you the guy's first name. Some of you guys can figure it out. Jesse discussed on this program a private conversation with God, the creator of the universe. Started off my day with the Lord, and I said, "Lord, how are you doing today? It's going to be a great day." And I noticed the Lord wasn't acting right. Now think about this. He's noticing that the Lord isn't acting right. Now this man is huge in public television today. He said, I noticed the Lord wasn't acting right because I know God. And you know when your child is not feeling good, right? You know when something, you may not know what it is, but he was acting right, for lack of a better term. He wasn't acting right. God's not acting right. Now think about this, how foolish this is. But if you're following these men, you think they're so special. They have a hotline to heaven, and God is talking to them, and I want to follow this man. I want all of his books and CDs. Well, this is being captive to another philosophy. We are not to be following man's philosophy, captive prisoner by these teachings. He said, I know God, and I know him, and I know the fullness of his presence. I know him. And I said, something's wrong. Goes on and on. I'm not going to read all of it. I said, Lord, you had a bad day. Question mark. Lord, you had a bad day. He noticed God's not acting right, and he's asking God if he had a bad day. And he said, yes, yay, my children have been disobeying me. Then it dawned on me. I said, somebody hurt you today. I said, Lord, I don't ever want to hurt you anymore. So, Lord, I'm going to cancel all my appointments and all this stuff that we call ministry, and I'm going to sit here, and I don't know how to say this, God, for lack of a better term, till you feel better. Now, this is making God into an emotional, like, human being. This is bringing God down to another low level, and is raising this man up into the status that they're going to make God feel better. Because so many people hurt him that day. Lord, I said, I'm just going to bless you. I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to call your name. And it dawned on me, and the Lord went, thank you. And he called his name. Now, this would be sad if it wasn't so pathetic, because so many people follow this person. This, and I said that specifically to let you know that this has all the elements of Gnosticism. This is a Gnostic gospel and a Gnostic Jesus. This is not the Jesus of the Bible. This is all the elements of Gnosticism, to have a private revelation by conversing with God. Sometimes these guys will preach, and right in the middle of their sermon, they'll go, yes, Lord. Like they're just, they have this hotline from heaven, and they're just so in tune that, wow, we better listen and follow this guy and buy all of his books and tapes, CDs. The content is not in the Bible and certainly contradicts the God of Scripture. Consider the concept of God having a bad day. Well, that's ridiculous. He is the God of all comfort, and he sends us the comforter. We don't send him the comforter. This is totally opposite of what the Bible teaches. And this man's going to console God for everyone else's disobedience that day? There's absolutely no way that this is even scriptural. This is called special revelation. And this is the false teachings that are going on today. He is called the God of all comfort. When you see people change the meaning of scripture by teaching us to look for a new revelation from the Spirit instead of the scriptures, that's Gnosticism. Let me say that again. When you see people change the meaning of scripture, now this was changing the meaning of scripture, changing the meaning of who God is and how powerful this person, this is all Gnostic. So for us to look for this new revelation from the Spirit instead of the scriptures, it's called Gnosticism, because they believe everything's spiritual. You have to have an experience. That is mysticism. And Gnostic and mysticism, even though they're words we don't use very much, they're really intermingled. Wrong doctrine always has us look elsewhere instead of going to the Bible. And how do you cure this? Read your Bible in context, and it'll just start showing you things you've been taught are wrong, like I taught last week. But they like their visions, their dreams, their trips to heaven, and their trips to hell. They're trying to redefine Christianity by hearing voices. And by hearing these voices, it changes everything. And that's why it's so dangerous, and that's why it's false teaching. God told me this, they say. God told me this. God told me that. And this voice that they're hearing always leads to another revelation. Yep. That what? has you look elsewhere. You don't look for God of the Bible. You're always trying to hear voices. Do you know how dangerous that is? To just try to be so in the Spirit that you hear a voice and then you obey that voice. Boy, that is very scary, because a lot of people are following voices and doing strange things in the name of God, and it's not God at all. They want to be enlightened. Now, I want to give you a warning. If you do not resist this wind of doctrine, you may find yourself becoming a Gnostic New Ager. If you do not resist this wind of doctrine, you may find yourself becoming a Gnostic New Ager. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But these doctrines merge together into the New Age, which leads into the what? Antichrist system. All religions lead into one. And it's very sad when you find out that you've been very sincere, but sincerely wrong. And a lot of people do not want to admit that they're wrong because of pride, and they don't want to admit that they have a really bad foundation, so they just deny it. They deny, well, maybe it's got to be right. Everybody else is preaching this. You got to dig deeper. And know that the enemy's been working hard, very many years, trying to get seduction in the church and doctrines of demons, just like the Bible says. People who spiritually live by their dreams and visions are mystic Gnostics. What dream? And I used to have some friends, and they'd always have a dream, and they were always looking for dreams, and they were always saying God speaks to you through a dream. Now, sometimes God has spoken. He's spoken to me through dreams, but you don't base your life on a dream. These people, it's one dream after the next dream after the next dream, and then it can lead into terrible deception. People follow them for their next revelation and word from God. They put these men on pedestals. Can't wait for him to see what's going to happen this year. Gnosticism is in our face today. People do not know it's Gnosticism, but it is. It's Gnosticism, just like what I read from that guy saying that he's going to cheer up God. How many other things are saying God said, that God did not say? He said today he's speaking to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Gnosticism always belittles the word. It puts it down. It says it's not important. Gnosticism always minimizes the word. You want to go to a meeting to see what the Spirit's going to do. You don't, and it got to where it was just like, well, this guy put on a better show than that guy, and how crazy it's gotten. So they put the word down. An example, I want to give you an example of what this is, and I even had all these books. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, to the Gnostics, or the mystics, now, what is a mystic? It's one that has a direct experience with the spirit realm, the spirit. So they're saying that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. It means the scripture is a dead letter, and what the spirit is saying now is more important. And we were taught that. Get in the spirit. Forget your mind. Don't think about it. Deny your reality. You're really not sick. Confess 10 times, you're healed. Now, quote, This is from a book. A true God chaser is not happy with just past truth. He must have present truth. God chasers, or people that are chasing after God, don't want to just study from the moldy pages of what God has done. The moldy pages. See how that puts down the scripture. They are anxious to see what God is doing now. Hebrews 1:2, the last days spoken to us by his son. God has written us his word, and he spoke to us by his son. There's so much in here we don't even know yet, because we're off following mystics and Gnostics trying to find out what God is saying, and we're deceived looking in different places. This is Gnostic in its approach, belittling the word and exalting a personal revelation. So what is Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 3:6, that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life? Paul is making a distinction from the old covenant and the new covenant. The old, the law, brought death. The letter, the law, killed because no one was able to keep it. It made us feel guilty. While the new covenant sets us free from the condemnation of the law. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, becoming flesh, who was all word and the wisdom of God. So it's totally taken out of context of what the letter and the spirit means even. To a Gnostic, the Bible can be spoken of as inspired. It's inspired, but it is not the final authority. This is the progression of churches now, the progressive movement. It's not the final authority. Satan will not allow the Bible to be the final authority because he wants the final authority.
That's right.
So he's still drawing people away from the Bible. And according to the mystics, it's experience that counts. So dreams and visions and necromancy, which is talking to the dead, I don't care if it's in heaven or whatever they say, there is a veil there. And these people are always, you know, going past that veil. They can just go and have visitations. Or now I'm hearing that there, certain churches are taking all the kids to heaven in trips. How ridiculous. Talking to the dead always have the greatest place. In other words, what's your experience? You got to have experience. And like Alice Bailey said, if you're going to survive in the end times, you got to be a mystic. And that's why it's kind of like David fighting Goliath now, because everybody's trying to be mystic and everyone's trying to be into Gnosticism. So when you preach the Bible, it's like you're the odd man out.
That's okay.
This always causes division. Whenever they start talking about their visions and their trips to heaven, some people are aware that this is wrong and other people buy it. So that it always causes division. And that's what the enemy loves. He loves to divide and conquer. Even with what we're going on in the world today, he's trying to divide this group against that group. And why is that? Because we're easier to control.
Right.
Divide and conquer us. And it's always causing us to look other places in the Bible, because we're always trying to get in the Spirit so we can hear what God is saying and doing. It's such deception. The Bible says we're not to be taken captive by these philosophies. How are you taken captive? Because you are trying so hard to be spiritual and to be in the Spirit and to have the latest from God that you're actually being deceived and taken captive by these spirits, doctrines of demons. The basic teaching of the faith message is rooted in Gnosticism and metaphysical cults, using Christian terms and language to infiltrate biblical truth. This is why it's so hard, because they use biblical terms and they slide in their false doctrines under biblical terms. And then they quote scriptures out of context, but it's such deception because the new believer thinks, well, this person's so close to God and they're always having a revelation. I want to be like that. And so they're always following a man. And these people have platforms. They're huge. People go, why don't you name names? Because there's too many to name. There's so many to name. You know, if you get the basic reasons why they're off, you'll start seeing it. You'll start seeing it. So a former occultist that got born again describes pagan magic and the human ability to manipulate the supernatural. And how do they do that? By words. In ancient Egypt, the followers of the Egyptian god Thot, T-H-O-T, who was the Egyptian god of knowledge, this is why they call it New Thought. Well, a lot of these preachers today are preaching from the pioneers of New Thought and mysticism, but they're not admitting that they're mystics. They're not admitting that they're getting this. And maybe some of them are deceived, but if you go into, you look in the roots of New Thought, which I've done some on New Thought, it's amazing how the same principles, Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, all these guys brought in New Thought. The secret is New Thought.
Yes.
And they just change a few things, a few names, and they bring it into the Christian situations. So this Egyptian god Thot, who was to be the Egyptian god of knowledge, believed that thoughts were real things with vibrational and energy levels, so that you think what you think is what you get. Whenever you start hearing them talking about vibrations, this is definitely of the occult. Prayers are not vibrations. It's a whole different language. I send you good vibes. We've talked about that. What's a vibe? I do not receive. That's all part of paganism.
Yes.
Now, this exocultist goes on to say that you enter in an altered state of consciousness, have faith in your faith. Now, this is occultism. You enter an altered state of consciousness, you have faith in your faith, and allow the force to work through you. Nothing shall be withheld from you if you only believe. This is occultism. So bring it over into Christianity. They changed a few things. This is the basis of all occult power, is what she said. This is channelers become channelers. This is how the channelers become channelers and how occultists develop occultic powers through their so-called formulas and magic and words. This is facts on false teaching in the church today. They call the power of the mind faith or positive thinking. It's a mind science. Yes. It's a metaphysical science. Yep. We believe from the heart. We read the Bible and faith comes by hearing. Yes. They change it to faith comes by speaking and decreeing and declaring. Stressing the power of faith as a... Now, some of you might be confused by this. And all I can tell you is do your own research. I had to dig. My mind went the other way and I had to force it to say, well, these people can't be wrong. But then when I started to see how that we're in the end times and the enemy wants to come and make you captive through these philosophies, and you got to come back to the simplicity of Christ. It's so simple that a child can believe and get saved.
Yes.
And we've made it so hard. Stressing the power of faith as a force and that the universe is governed by impersonal spiritual laws. Impersonal spiritual laws, think about that, rather than a personal living sovereign God. So here we're talking about laws versus a relationship. Prayer, we trust God. He is sovereign. We trust His will. We want to obey God and do His will. But this really gets you down to doing your own will. Do as thou wilt. Absolutely opposite. That's what Satan wants. Do as thou wilt, right? We want to follow God and do His will. So, and also we have a relationship with Him. With the metaphysics and all these, you can't have a relationship. You have to have laws because God is a force that He has to obey Himself. Think about how foolish that is. But preachers deny teaching New Thought. They even say, well, this isn't Christian science, it's Christian sense. No, that's also deception because it's not Christian and it's not science, actually. The term New Thought signified one's thoughts could unlock secrets to living a better life. It focuses on mind power to cure illnesses. This is Christian science, taught as Christianity in the late 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. To redirect a person's thoughts and diseases, just have to think it enough. You have to believe it enough in your mind. Just believe it in your mind. And a lot of people have died not getting some simple help because they thought that if they got help, they would not be in faith. And they've been so many people that have lost loved ones, and it's actually spiritual abuse. The mind has the power to heal the body, they say, to have health, happiness, and abundance. The mind, it's all in the mind. This is why it's called metaphysics. Now let me close with a couple things here. Change your life by positive thinking became embedded in mainstream Christianity. Many so-called faith preachers today are preaching New Thought philosophy, even though they deny it. Many people don't even know what New Thought is, but this is the history. From Quimby and all the other ones. The best-selling book, The Secret, is an example of New Thought principles and philosophies. The Secret heavily quotes New Thought pioneers.
Yes.
Although New Thought uses Christian terms, it shifts from what? Here's the main thing. It shifts from Christ and our faith and trust in Him into ourself.
Yeah.
It leads you away from Christ. And all the focus is on you. Do you know what a heavy burden that is? You got to say the right things. You even have to think the right thoughts. There's so much pressure that's put on these people, and they always feel like they failed God. This New Thought Jesus is an enlightened man, they say, who understood the spiritual laws behind formulas for getting what you want. How crazy is that? This is a new Jesus. This is a Jesus that has to obey laws. And He was the first among many brethren. And they say it in a way that you can be just like God yourself. The apostle rebuked in Acts 13:10, the apostle Paul rebuked the false prophet Elymas. E-L-Y-M-A-S. You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, your enemy, you enemy of all righteousness, will not you cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And this is what the enemy wants. He wants to keep making the straight ways crooked, make it hard. The leaven of the Pharisees, even the leaven of Herod, all these different things to kind of make everything so hard and complicated. Beware of those who make crooked the straight ways of the Lord. Proverbs 3:6. What do? In all of our ways, we acknowledge him and he will direct our path.
Amen.
Acknowledge him and he will. And I'm just going to close with this. I think I'll leave the rest of this till next time. The New Age, all of these movements are New Age.
Yes.
And they're merging. Reasons why Christianity and the New Age cannot blend is because the New Age glorifies self.
Correct.
It's all about you.
Yep.
Christianity glorifies God.
Yes.
New Age turns to ascended masters. Talking about ascended masters. Spirit guides, the universe, astrology, and they turn to angels for help. Christianity, we follow the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and we read the Bible. We don't follow angels.
Yes.
And that's what they did back in the Latter Rain movement. William Branham only could do miracles when the angel was beside him. Remember, it was all about the angel. And the mess he made is still going on today.
Yep.
The doctrines that he preached, the serpent seed, all these different things. And people lift him up. As soon as they lift him up, I know these people don't know what they're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
New Age tries to predict and control the future. Always has to know. Always wants to be in control. With us Christians, we trust God for the future.
Yes.
We live every day. There's some things we cannot change. And we have to learn to trust God. We can't change how politicians have gotten so divisive and there's so much lying going on and there's so many things that are going on in our world today. There's things we can't change. They've been in place from behind the scene for a long time.
Yes. Yep.
And bad things are coming out now. We can't stress over that. We can't fear the fear porn that they're putting out. A lot of people are dying through fear.
Yes.
We have to keep focused. And we trust the Lord with our lives. And we say, there's a lot of things we can't change, but we can trust you.
Amen.
And that gives us peace. We don't have to know the future, even though we like to know. It's hard to even plan a trip nowadays, right? With the weather and all this stuff. New Age says there's no sin. There's no hell. Even back then, Robert Schuller and all these, and Norman Vincent Peale said, there is no hell. Hell is what we're living in right now. Well, the Bible says there is a hell. So who are you going to believe? So the New Age, there's no sin, hell, devil, or demons. Christianity believes Jesus' teachings about everything he said in there, sin, hell, devil, and demons in the Bible. So you got to decide, am I going to go with this New Age or am I going to go with the gospel? They definitely do not mix. The New Age tries to manifest their wants and desires. We trust God to meet our needs according to his riches and glory. The New Age says there's many paths and religions to God. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And there is just one more. Why do we need to reject these doctrines? It requires revelation knowledge. Like the Gnostic heresies all through the ages, these doctrines need special knowledge in order to be effective. They condemn sense knowledge as inadequate. Remember, God gave you your five senses. They put that down. They put down the matter, the flesh, as inadequate. In this scheme, it's not sin and disobedience that causes us to fail, but they say it's ignorance of the word and you need more faith. When do you get enough faith? So whenever you fail, it's your fault. It's constant condemnation. This revelation knowledge is limited to the few who can receive it. The less intelligent are at a disadvantage. This is elitism. And Jesus came to save and to heal. I don't care if you're smart or dumb or whatever. You don't need these supernatural revelation, mystic, Gnostic doctrines to get into heaven. You simply trust and believe in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that it's simple, but we've all learned so many things, we have to unlearn them now. Because this is the day we truly do need faith, and we need faith in you. Not in ourselves, but in you, in your promises. So, Father, we thank you that Psalms 91 says, Father God, that many shall fall to our right and our left, but it shall not come nigh us. And this day we trust you for health, for taking care of our needs, for jobs. Many people there, out wherever we're preaching to, we're facing situations where we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with our jobs. And Father, we thank you that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And I pray you would open up a door for us people, Father, to walk through, that we know it's your will in these end times. And we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you, Father, for the simple gospel. It's not confusing. It's not hard, that we just get back to reading our Bibles. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a gift button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Trade your helmet for a crown of peace at the altar.